Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Rommel yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio here on a Thursday afternoon. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got a breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We've had a few of these this week. It's been a breaking newsy week, you could say. Had a bunch of these. This is a football recruiting one, so you probably know where we're going with this. We're going over to the home daycare center of one Ryan Callahan. And Ryan, if you could be so kind as to tell the people while we're here.
Well, Tennessee added another commitment to its 2022 recruiting class Thursday morning, landing defensive end Vinson Snead of Florida. And this was not a big surprise as commitments go. We've obviously kind of given fans the heads up over the past several weeks that Tennessee was clearly in good shape with Snead and had been the team to beat there. And he had previously talked about, though, announcing his decision on May 19, the day of his team's spring game. That had been his plan even up until this week. And I think, things just kind of recently, he decided to move things up a little bit and just go ahead and get it over with and put that decision out there. And it gives Tennessee two commitments in a span of less than 24 hours. After previously not having anyone in this 2022 class. So it gets things kind of jump-started after a couple quiet months for Josh Heupel and his staff. And now they've got two commitments for the 2022 class and finally have something to kind of build around in this class and something for fans to get excited about.
Yeah, and if y'all were wondering what that sound was, that was me trying to click on something and clicking on the wrong thing and instead going back to the intro music. So really on my game today. Really on my game today. But that's okay. Having one of those days, we will work through it. The deets on Vinson Snead, 6'4", 231 pounds from Winter Park, Florida. Winter Park High School, a place that I think Tennessee fans know a decent bit about from the past. This kid rated number 591 overall, 39 strong side defensive end, 78th ranked prospect in Florida. But I'll tell you, Ryan, these rankings are often in the eye of the beholder. And this is a kid who is from, right down the road from where Josh Heupel and his staff used to be, right there down there outside of Orlando, Florida. And this is a kid who, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but this was a kid who Tennessee staff didn't just like when they were at UCF, also liked when they came to Tennessee and thought he could do this. And I believe Rodney Garner also gave the okay on this. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think this is a guy Rodney Garner looked at and liked quite a bit. And that's, if he gives the go-ahead, that's usually a pretty good sign. He's got a good track record of finding some diamonds in the rough on the defensive line. And I think there's a lot of upside to Vinson Snead's game. He didn't put up just massive numbers this past year. He did transfer from Edgewater High School in Orlando over to Winter Park this past year. Going into his junior season and had a pretty good year, 4 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss, a couple fumble recoveries, a forced fumble, 51 total tackles. So I mean, solid production across the board. And I think some of our guys saw him at one of the Under Armour camps earlier this year and thought he looked pretty good there. So I think we probably feel pretty good about where he's rated right now, but I think this is a guy that is going to get better because he's got a frame that still could continue to fill out. He's already a pretty big guy, has a chance to get even bigger. Talking with one of his assistant coaches for a story that you can read on GoVols 24/7 right now. But he mentioned that Vinson Snead has a grandfather who's somewhere around like 6'11", somewhere close to 7 feet, just a really big guy. Part of a big family where there's a lot of big people among that family. So there's still the thought that maybe Vinson Snead is not done growing. So this guy already 6'4" or so, and has the potential to get even bigger and obviously plays defensive end right now, has played offensive line in the past, earlier in his high school career, just because he was one of the bigger guys on the team at his previous school, I think got some time on the offensive line. So he's got a big frame clearly and has a chance to continue getting bigger. But, you know, I think ideally projects as a defensive end, and we'll see how much more of a, you know, sort of a pass rushing nose he can develop. But I think he's shown an ability to get to the quarterback, and with that kind of frame, the athleticism, everything sort of checks out, and he just looks like a solid player across the board. And, you know, we'll touch on this more in a minute, but, you know, defensive line is a big need for Tennessee in this class. And you got to get started with some, you know, usually the first guys in the class are not the five stars. They're the guys that are going to be in the 3 or 4 star range. So you take guys like this to build around. And I think a guy like Vincent Snead definitely gives you a nice foundational piece of this class. Someone who's been excited about Tennessee since he got that offer from this new staff back in February. And, you know, as you said, they knew him at UCF and liked him there, and Rodney Garner likes him. So there's a lot to be excited about for Tennessee fans on this one. And not just the fact that he's a solid player, but he's been excited about Tennessee and pumped to be a Vol really since mid-February. So this has kind of been in the works for a while. And I think he's known for a long time that Tennessee is where he wanted to go.
And I'll tell you what I like about guys like this that are in this kind of size range. You're talking about 6'4". We got him at 6'4", 231. You know, I think the kid likes to say he's a little bit bigger than that. We'll see. We're not sitting there on the scales with him. But recently I know he was at a camp, and that's the weight he was when he was at the camp. But regardless, let's say he's 230 to 240, somewhere in that range. You know, if he gets to Tennessee, you know, a lot of these programs in Florida, they're really well run. You know, they've got good facilities. They're able to train a lot. They know what they're doing in a lot of these places. So he's probably in a pretty decent situation now. But there's nothing quite like, you know, an SEC strength and conditioning program, you know, until you get to like the NFL level. I mean, there's it's just, it's really the science, the sports science, the way that you can build bodies to get what you want. If, let's say, he gets to campus and he's not quite twitchy enough to be exactly what they want off the edge, well, he can just eat, have a whole bunch of protein shakes, and maybe he can be a 3-tech. I mean, I like guys who are in this size because I like the versatility they have.
I think there's a lot to be said for that, yeah. And I think ideally this is probably not a guy that I think he's probably – the strong side end description is probably, sure, is probably a good, sure, label for him right now, because I think his size now might scream to some people maybe more weak side defensive end where you have more of a true pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I think this is a guy who's got the frame, has the skill set that I think makes you think he's more likely to be the strong side type guy who's maybe not just a pure edge rusher, but just a good all-around defensive end. So I think that might be what he projects at best. You know, might have the frame to be a 260, 265-pound defensive end, and that's about what you need in the SEC a lot of times. So I think that's and knowing that Tennessee is going to be running sort of more of a multiple front that's probably going to have a lot more four-man fronts in it under this staff, I think a guy like this is a really good fit for that type of system. And you can do some different things with him on the defensive line, but certainly 4-3 defensive end is where a lot of people would probably project him based on where he is now. So yeah, like you said, still got to get him on campus and see how he develops, but he's built a lot like Latrell Bumpus was coming out of high school. And a guy like Bumpus can, you know, if he can follow that career trajectory, you'll have a pretty good player in a few years. So I think we'll see. Obviously, time will tell what kind of player he really is, and Vincent Snead that is. But I think Snead is he's got a lot of the characteristics you want to be a sort of a bigger body defensive end in time, and it'll just depend on how he develops.
And as you can say, we'll talk about that need at defensive line here in a minute. But just quickly, more on Vincent Snead before we talk about just sort of some other things in general. This is a kid who, and again, Ryan, you've dealt with him. I have not, but just reading what you've written and hearing some things, he seems like a really interesting kid. You know, it reminds me a little bit of someone like Josiah Jordan James when he came in basketball. It's just, you know, you couldn't believe he was 18 years old because different people mature at different points in their life. And this kid just seems to have a true comfort in his own skin. He kind of knows who he is and what he's about, and he's not afraid to tell other guys if they're not doing something they're supposed to be doing, which at that age, you know, especially those of us who are guys, I can say this for sure, that's not always a quality that's there.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple of interesting things about sort of his personality and background that might make him think Tennessee is a good fit. I mean, first of all, he's been to the state a couple times. He's never been to Tennessee's campus, but he's obviously seen it in virtual tours and things like that. I think he just has this impression from his couple trips, which were to Middle Tennessee, oddly enough, but just seeing the state and sort of what it looks like in this state. I think he's got the sense that it's going to feel like home because he's got a lot of family that are from small towns. He mentioned a lot of his family lived in places that didn't have any red lights and had some dirt roads and things like that. And he said, I know Tennessee's not going to be like that, but you know, a lot of open land and places to go fish and things like that. And you don't hear that too often when a kid makes a explains why he's making a college decision. But I think he has the sense that it's going to be a comfortable place for him. So there's something to be said for that. But that's not always what a teenager is looking for. So interesting thinking there. And then talking with his coach, he's only been at his school for a year, but he said, hey, this is the guy that pushes his teammates, that's trying to make sure the team is doing things right on the practice field. Said he normally gets along with them pretty well, but there will occasionally be some rifts because he's always pushing guys to do things the right way. And, you know, sometimes at the end of practice, guys are getting tired. They're not doing things right. They're ready to go home. He'll say, no, we need to do that again. And that kind of frustrates some guys who are not as eager to hang around and get it right. So you kind of like to hear that, I think, if you're a coach. So there's some interesting things there about his makeup that could make him a good leader in college. And certainly he's becoming a leader on his high school team too, for that same reason. So that's an interesting makeup and definitely not the typical high school kid. And he's certainly a good talker and good at explaining things in interviews and things like that. So he's a very, very interesting personality to say the least. And that could add to Tennessee's locker room for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if he likes to go out there and hunting and fishing and stuff like that, one, he's coming to the right state. Two, he's going to be really popular with the offensive linemen, which will be interesting because,
yes,
he'll be out there in the Mays Brothers in their duck blind, maybe that time of year. We shall see. But Ryan, we talked about this a little bit before we go to break here. We should mention it though. The need for Tennessee at defensive line is pretty clear. Because right now on the team, you got some guys who have just kind of emerged and enrolled, and we'll see how they develop, and there's some potential there. But a lot of upperclassmen, a lot of seniors in this group, a lot of COVID seniors in this group. Those are big, strong guys, maybe not great players, but they're experienced players. They're solid. They're not going to get beaten around too much. They're just kind of a good, solid workman-like group with maybe some upside in guys like Middleton and things like that. But this is a clear need for this class because they will be replacing a lot there next season.
Yeah, and this is really something that the former staff had struggled to address, but they've been trying to load up on defensive linemen for a couple of years now and just haven't been able to because they've just lost some battles. It's obviously tough to get big-time defensive linemen a lot of times. They missed out on some big-time targets last year like Javari Ritzy and Tyrion Ingram Dawkins that they went after for a long time. So they've just continued to kick that can down the road, and they were able to this past year only because, like you said, of the free year of eligibility that allowed some of these seniors to stick around for another year. So they've gotten by to this point, but it really is time for them to address that need with a pretty big defensive line class, at least to the extent that they can, because they have so many needs across the board. But defensive line is definitely one of them. And so I think when you're needing a handful, at least, of defensive linemen in a class like this, you gotta be realistic about who you can get, and you gotta take the guys that you like when you can get them. And so it makes a lot of sense to build this class around a guy like Vincent Snead early on and go ahead and get him in this class to get things started. So, well, obviously Tennessee is still in on a bunch of other defensive linemen. You gotta like Rodney Garner's chances of eventually getting some other guys he likes. Giovanni Davis in state and plenty of others still out there that Tennessee is in the mix for. But Vincent Snead, it's going to be tough to assess Tennessee's current situation and say for sure who they can get. So I think when you look at Vincent Snead and what he can do on film and Tennessee's need there, it's a no-brainer to go ahead and take a guy like that and know that you're getting a solid player and that you need a lot more help at that position. So you've got to start getting some bodies there and piling them up pretty fast.
I think that is a very good point. Guys, we got a lot more to talk about here in this breaking news edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. But before we do that, we do have to step away for just a minute, pay some bills, listen to some products and services and in-house ads and other fun things. And we'll be right back in just a second here on the GoVols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. you can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ad you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town there with his clown car full of children, home daycare center out there in a different part of town than the old North Knoxville where we are located here at Fort Rucker Studio. Talking Tennessee recruiting, the Vols add Vincent Snead, the second football commitment of the week. It's been a couple of big commitments for both Tennessee football and especially for Tennessee basketball this week. That Brendan Huntley Hatfield news was huge. So there's a bunch of good stuff to discuss. Before we do that, though, I'm going to ask you quickly again, guys, take a minute out of your day. Please rate and review this podcast. Please hit the subscribe button on this podcast, whether you're on, no matter what, if you're listening, we're appreciative. We really do appreciate it. We love y'all for doing that. Thank you. But if you can hit that subscribe button, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast a fine pod, you can find the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. And if you could take just a minute out of your day to rate and review this podcast and hit the subscribe button, that helps us out a lot. That gets us right into that sweet spot where we want to be with some of those algorithms that help us go into discussing a lot of these things. So it's very, very, very helpful if y'all could do that. Also, please quickly go to GoVols247.com. Check out the site. If you like this podcast, you're going to love the website because there are so many things going on all the time in all Tennessee sports. Ryan, I wanted to quickly ask you just about a couple of things here, and I wanted to address this quickly, and I think we did in the first segment, but just really quickly again, the value of having a guy like Rodney Garner, his experience in this league, and his ability to identify defensive linemen he likes, how important is that, and is that something people need to understand?
Yeah, I think that's a really big deal. Obviously Tennessee is, until they get back to showing some success under this new staff and have some results to sell, it's obviously going to be a bit of a challenge for them in recruiting. So Rodney Garner has a history of showing he can go out and find some guys. Keith Niebuhr from our Auburn site talked about it. They went out and found some sort of unheralded junior college guys at times, and he found good players out there. So when Rodney Garner likes the defensive lineman, 30 years of experience in the SEC, most of that, almost all of it on the defensive line, all the guys he's put in the NFL over the years, obviously a lot of them were 4 and 5 stars, but when he likes the defensive lineman, I think you got to take that into consideration and say, this guy's got a chance to be a good player. So that's a big deal. It was a selling point for Vincent Snead. He mentioned to me that obviously the chance to play for Rodney Garner was at least part of the interest in Tennessee for him. I think he liked Tennessee for a lot of reasons, but I think he's very interested in playing for a guy with that kind of resume, that kind of track record. So obviously people know what kind of recruiter he has been over the years. I think that's going to help Tennessee, but he's a good evaluator and talent developer too. And I think if he sees some upside in a guy on the defensive line, you sort of have to give him the benefit of the doubt in a lot of cases, because he has a track record of finding some nice players who are not necessarily the highest rated out there.
Ryan, moving on to a couple of different news items. One, and we've talked about this a little bit throughout the week, it's no secret that the Wade twins are announcing on Friday the in-state prospects from Tennessee. That's been viewed for a little while as a Tennessee-Kentucky battle. Depending on who you talk to on what day, it seemed like, hey, they might be leaning UK. Hey, they might be leaning Tennessee. And we've, when you talk about fluid situation, this has been one of those. What do you think now is going to happen when they announce on Friday? And do you think that will be the end of the road for their recruiting?
Yeah, you never say never on stuff like that, but I definitely think it's one that Tennessee is going to have to play sort of the long game if they want to get them in their class. There's been a lot of chatter out there the past couple of weeks about Kentucky maybe being the team to beat, and I think they're, you know, from some people's perspective, it was just a matter of how much truth was there to that, and was it a situation where they were leaning or still torn? I think people, as they got a better sense of where things have stood, figured out that the Kentucky talk was legitimate, that I think Kentucky really is the team to beat going into that announcement Friday afternoon. They'll be announcing at 5 Eastern on Friday during a ceremony at their school. And I think at this point, I'd say it'd be a surprise if those guys don't pick Kentucky. So that's it's a little bit of a loss for Tennessee in-state for sure to miss out on a couple guys that they've recruited pretty hard over the past couple months. And Keaton Wade, obviously, in particular, a highly rated linebacker, defensive end type that could be an edge rusher, could be more of a true linebacker, can do a lot of things there. Destin Wade has kind of been the X factor in that recruitment, where I think his desire to play quarterback has kind of helped tilt things in Kentucky's favor. And Tennessee's pitch to play quarterback, they made one, but I don't know if there's the belief deep down that he's going to be the guy at quarterback in Tennessee's class, knowing that they're recruiting Taven Jackson and others, obviously trying to get a more of a true quarterback, at least in this class. But I don't think Tennessee will completely shut the door on that. So we'll see. But if those guys pick Kentucky on Friday, as expected, I think it'll be one of those situations where we just have to kind of keep an eye on it later on in the year, see if anything develops there. But certainly looks like right now those guys are probably Kentucky bound.
Yeah, Ryan, I want to ask you a question really quickly here. And I don't want this at all to be offensive to the Kentucky program or to Kentucky people. In general, generally speaking, that's the land of my mother's people. I try to be kind there. But if you are playing quarterback at Kentucky, are you necessarily playing quarterback?
Well, I will say this, that Kentucky just made some changes to its staff this offseason on offense. And there's been the thought that they're sort of getting away from, or at least trying to get away from, the days of the running quarterback and the run heavy offense, and knowing they need to kind of spread the field and throw it more successfully. So there's been some thought that they're getting away from that, but at the same time, they had put a lot of time and energy into recruiting Gavin Wimsett, in-state quarterback who committed to Rutgers recently. And with him off the table, there's a clear path for Destin Wade to be the quarterback, at least for now, in Kentucky's class. So not sure how big of a need that is for Kentucky in this class, and whether there's a real chance for him to be the quarterback of the future there. But, you know, sometimes a class presents what it presents, and you have to take what's there. And so they might look for different types of quarterbacks in the future, maybe in the 2023 class. We'll have to wait and see about that. But it does seem like they've at least got a desire to maybe get away from just having those sort of running quarterbacks. And that you wonder, you know, how Destin Wade will fit into that in the long run, because he has run a lot in high school, and that's a big part of his game. But definitely it's, Kentucky's not made a ton of not produced a ton of productive passers under Mark Stoops. They've had some good quarterbacks that have done a good job for their offense, but they're not necessarily big passers. So they're wanting to change that. But yeah, that's one of the things about the Kentucky situation that I'm sure some other schools have tried to sell. But at the same time, if a kid wants to play quarterback, he wants to play quarterback.
Yeah, I'm a proponent of two things. One, a kid playing wherever they want to play, and two, a kid playing whatever position they want to play. You only get a short time to play this game. And you know what? Even if you're a better prospect somewhere else for the long run, and you could be more productive at a bigger place doing something else, if there's a position you want to play, go ahead and play it, man. And if there's a place you want to play, go ahead and play there. I think all these kids should have the right to go where they want to go, not where their parents want them to go, not where fans want them to go, but where they want to go. And if Kentucky's where these kids want to go, then and they end up doing that, then, you know, congratulations to them. And Tennessee will have to move on to what's next. Although I imagine Tennessee will continue trying to recruit those guys. This isn't like basketball where you commit and then it just kind of shuts down. This is football, man. They're going to keep coming after him if they want him. Ryan, a couple last things here. Just generally speaking, you know, what's going on with recruiting now? Because we've kind of wondered when some of these commitments were going to start falling for Tennessee. Now they've started falling. We've seen some dominoes fall. You know, where are things going now? Where are things generally speaking, and what's coming up on the calendar?
Yeah, this could be sort of a quieter stretch. You know, we'll have to wait and see about that. We obviously knew that there was a good chance Vincent Snead was going to announce his decision by next month. So we thought that would happen before June. We knew the Wade twins were announcing this month, and that obviously not trending Tennessee's way. And then obviously the Elijah Herring, once that Once he became a real possibility for Tennessee and things started to move there pretty quickly, it became obvious he was going to make a spring decision. But beyond that, now that those have all those dominoes have started to fall, it could be a little bit before we see another commitment, just unless something surprisingly happens. And that's, you can never rule that out in recruiting. But this is a stretch where the June 1 start of potentially the start of a new period for visits to reopen and resume will really factor into what happens for a lot of players across the country. The NCAA voting this week, in fact, as we speak, it might be being voted on or discussed whether to end the dead period on May 31st. They've extended it several times. It's lasted more than a year now. There's been a lot of optimism lately that it was going to end. Now it looks like it's going to. It's been reported that it's going to be approved for visits to resume June 1st. So I think a lot of players might just kind of be in a holding pattern for a little while, waiting on that chance to take some visits in June. So if you're expecting this to maybe start a run of commitments, I would maybe not necessarily count on that, because I think this might be a period of a kind of a waiting game for a lot of players across the country before what could be a pretty hectic and wild month of June for players across the country, for schools. We might see Tennessee and other schools go on pretty big runs of commitments. A lot of activity potentially could happen this summer, with those summer visits being huge for a lot of guys who've been waiting for that chance. Now it looks like they'll get it pretty soon. And you know, they'll obviously try to get some guys on campus for the spring game next weekend too, but it's still a dead period. So those have to be just, you know, people who come to the game, don't interact with coaches, sit in the stands like any normal fan, but they'll get some guys there for that too. But the real fun, the real visits will start June 1st, looks like. And that's a big deal. But it might mean things are kind of quiet for a while now that Tennessee has a couple guys in this class.
Anything else going on, Ryan? Anything that's imminent in terms of people, you know, who may be coming off the board soon or anything like that? Or are we kind of at a good place to leave this right now?
I think it's a good place to leave it. I think we'll have to wait and see what happens. You never know in recruiting, but looks like this gives Tennessee a good starting point, you know, with a couple commitments, and we'll just have to wait and see if anything unexpectedly happens. But for now, it's a lot of planning for what's going to happen in June, with a bunch of official visits already on the books for Tennessee, camps now starting to be planned. It's going to be a wild month of June. In the meantime, I think everything's kind of going to be focused on planning for that month.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Wes.
And thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. As always, you can find all of us on Twitter. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news, nothing else, get that at govols247.com. You can also go to Facebook at facebook.com/govols247 and get tons of stuff there around the clock. All kinds of stuff all day long. Of course, if you want that delicious East Tennessee mountain spring water just right from the tap, go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get everything you want about Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball, basketball recruiting, baseball. Those guys have a huge, huge series coming up this weekend. The number 3 Vols hosting number 2 Vandy for 3 games. We'll have all that covered as usual on govols247.com. Also, Lady Vols coverage with Maria Cornelius, who does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us. Got a couple of forums that run around the clock there. It's called 24/7 for a reason. We got the Checkerboard and the Summit, both forums. Hey, as long as it's not political or religious in nature, guys, fire away. We're a game to talk about anything at any time except for those two things, for rather obvious reasons. And you can get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. Pretty darn good deal. Pretty darn good deal. And if you pay us full price for that, you get access. As long as you're paying us full price, you get access to Paramount Plus, which used to be CBS All Access. Now it's Paramount Plus. All kinds of great stuff on there. You got every show CBS has ever made commercial-free, exclusive shows like Picard and other things that are on there, which are really good shows. New movies every single month. All kinds of great stuff there. Live sports with Tennessee sports. So obviously a lot of UT sports. Got SEC sports for a little while longer, so good stuff there. NFL, PGA Tour. Basketball, like the, you know, March Madness, NCAA tournament, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, everything is on there, plus stuff from the catalogs of Comedy Central, MTV, BET, Nickelodeon, and Smithsonian. So stuff for the whole family there. That's a $100 plus annual value that we will give you, no questions asked, for free. No one else can give you that deal. We can. So go there and take advantage of it. If nothing else, guys, if there's no major, huge breaking news, you should hear from us again on Monday. It's been a newsy podcast week, so at this rate, never really know. I guess big news could break at any point going forward, but it's been that kind of a week. But if nothing else, you will hear from us by Monday. So until then, wash your freaking hands, wear your freaking masks, get those freaking vaccines. Let's get through this thing together, guys. We are so close. Numbers are looking better. I'm proud of everyone, happy for everyone that's been doing this. Please get on this train. Let's do this. Let's get through this together, and let's have sports in full stadiums in the fall, and let's put this horrible, horrible, craptastic couple of years behind us. That should just about do it, guys. Until then, be good. See ya.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.